In the light of Hadith, 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 in the light of Hadith.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Views of Madani Channel, welcome to the first episode of a new silsila on Madani Channel. In this silsila, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll be exploring a renowned collection of hadith by one of the greatest scholars in Islamic history. In this new series, we'll be bringing to you an explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, collected this compilation of 40 hadith by the name of Al-Arba'in, which is famously taught, published, memorized throughout the Muslim world and throughout Muslim communities and societies. A work that has gained recognition throughout the centuries of Islam. Insha'Allah Azawajal, in this series, we'll be looking at every one of these incredible narrations from our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, collected by Imam al-Nawawi Rahimahullah. And we'll be looking into the wisdoms and the blessings and the secrets and the lessons behind the beautiful words that came from the blessed, delicate, fragrant lips of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Insha'Allah azawajal, if you stay tuned to this silsila, this series, you will gain an abundance of knowledge of the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, its sciences and its blessings. Before moving on and introducing the topic, I'll share with you a virtue and a blessing of reciting Durood Sharif, reciting Salawat, reciting peace and blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Whoever recites Durood Sharif upon me once, sallallahu alaihi ashran, Allah Almighty showers 10 blessings upon that person, wa kataba lahu biha 10 hasanatin, and Allah Almighty records for that person 10 good deeds." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَبَارَكَ وَسَلَّمْ. In this silsila, the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, we'll be looking at this incredible collection of statements and traditions with their chains of narration going back to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Authentic statements of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what we know as hadith. In the first episode today, we'll be looking at the concept of hadith, the importance of hadith, the authority of the hadith, and we'll be discussing why it's necessary for us as Muslims to gain knowledge and guidance from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that before discussing the 40 hadith themselves, before looking at the text and the commentary of the actual hadith, we can understand the importance, we can understand the necessity of hadith itself. And after understanding the importance and the necessity of hadith, the concept of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insha'Allah azawajal, when we listen to the hadith and we listen to the explanation, inshallah, we will gain more blessings and we will gain a greater love and a greater passion and enthusiasm to listen to understand and to act upon those ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So hadith is defined as any statement of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any action of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the silent approval of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where something was done in his blessed presence and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't stop that thing from happening. The Prophet alaihi salatu wasalam approved of it silently. So the statements and the actions and the silent approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are known as hadith. And these hadith are collected by the scholars of Islam through their chains of narration. So a particular scholar will narrate a hadith from such and such, from such and such, from such and such. And that unbroken chain of tradition, the unbroken chain of narration will go back to the Prophet ﷺ without any gaps in between. So the scholar of hadith took that hadith from his teacher. That teacher took it from his teacher. And that teacher may have taken it from a sahabi. And the sahabi took it from the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ would teach the sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan. And the statements of the Prophet ﷺ and his actions would be memorized by the sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan. Then a particular sahabi, maybe many years later, would then say to the successors, the students of the sahaba, that once the beloved Prophet ﷺ said such and such, those successors would then take that knowledge, memorize it from the sahaba, and pass that knowledge on to the next generation. That such and such sahabi informed us that the Prophet ﷺ said such and such. And like this, the chain of narration continues until the age, the era of recording the hadith in books came about. And then the scholars of hadith looked at the chains of narrations, looked to see which ones were the most authentic, and collected that hadith in many, many books, which we famously know, and we famously hear about, we famously study, we famously gain knowledge from. And now these books of hadith became the sources of knowledge and the attachment of the ummah to the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So the Holy Quran is hudan linnas, guidance for mankind, and in particular, a guidance for the pious, hudan lil muttaqeen. And the guidance of the Quran Pak, the revelation sent by Allah, this states the rules and the principles of life. But the Quran Pak states many things in summary form. The explanation of these things can be found in the hadith. The Quran mentions the theory, but the hadith is the practical implementation of the Quran in the life of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, there is for you the best example, the most beautiful example in the Messenger of Allah. The life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best example for us. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For the one who has hope in Allah and hope in the last day. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And who mentions Allah in abundance. So the Quran itself is telling us that the best example is in Uswatul Rasul, the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And where do we find the practical implementation of the Quran, the practical example of the theory of the Quran being put into practice? We find that example, that implementation in the hadith. The hadith is the source of knowledge from which we gain an insight into how the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam acted upon and implemented the theory and the teachings of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. When it comes to the rulings and the principles that are mentioned in the Quran, as I mentioned, sometimes we can only understand the verses of the Quran fully by looking at the hadith and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes just language and just literally translating the words of the Quran is not enough for us to understand the actual purpose of a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish salah. Now what is salah? How do you perform salah? What is the method of performing salah? What are the conditions of salah? Which things must be put into place before our salah can be valid? When we intend to perform salah, what should we do? Should we first stand up or should we first sit down? How should we begin our salah? What are the positions of salah? All of these things are taught to us in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Similarly, how many times do we have to pray in one day? Again, the Quran doesn't explicitly state that we have to pray certain prayers in a day and the timings of those exact prayers. What time does each prayer start and what time does each prayer finish? We gain the knowledge of this from the hadith and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And many times, the Quran Pak will mention something in summary form, and the hadith will give the explanation of that summary. And the Quran itself tells us the importance of hadith. The Quran itself teaches us that the hadith is necessary for us to understand the Quran itself. And Allah Almighty emphasizes that as believers, the Muslims must take whatever the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam gives them, and they must refrain from whatever he forbids them from. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah 59 verse 7 states, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Messenger gives you, then take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he forbids you from, refrain from it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ and fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Indeed, the punishment of Allah is severe. And furthermore, emphasizing the importance of obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself mentioned the importance of obeying him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses in the Quran backing up these statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the importance of obeying him. Allah Almighty states, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 13, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, Allah will make that person enter into gardens beneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will reside therein forever. وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the great victory. In many other verses of the Quran, Allah Almighty mentions the importance of obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following his example. Allah Almighty states, again in Surah An-Nisa, this time verse number 69, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then they will be with the ones whom Allah has bestowed His favor upon. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, the Prophets, والصديقين, the truthful, والشهداء, the martyrs, والصالحين, the righteous. The one who obeys Allah and obeys the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such people will be fortunate to be in the company of those upon whom Allah has bestowed His favors, i.e. the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. Subhanallah. And throughout the Quran Park, in many verses, we hear the statement, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولِ. And in many places of the Quran, we hear the statement of Allah emphasizing the importance of obeying the Messenger. For example, Allah Almighty says, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. Allah Almighty states, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ, and fears Allah, وَيَتَّقْهِ, and has consciousness of Him, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, then those people are victorious. The same mazmoon, the same topic is mentioned in many of the verses of the Quran, and Allah Almighty also emphasizes the rewards for obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah Al-Imran, verse 31, Allah Almighty instructs the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ, O beloved alayhi salatu wasalam, say, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. O beloved, say to the people, if you love Allah, then follow me, follow the Messenger. And if you do so, what will be the reward? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will love you, and Allah will forgive your sins for you. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. And Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Subhanallah. So obedience of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is something which is necessary upon us as Muslims. Allah Almighty has stated in the Holy Quran that the successful people are the ones who obey Allah and obey His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Almighty has emphasized that the one who obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has obeyed Allah. And Allah Almighty states that the one who follows the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, Allah will love that person, and Allah will forgive the sins of that person. So how can we obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How can we follow his example? We follow his example through the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By learning these traditions, by learning about these reports, by learning about the statements and the actions of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Obedience of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not just necessary upon the Sahaba. It was necessary upon them, but it's also necessary upon us. Now the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, for them, ittiba, following, ita'a, obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was possible through observing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam directly, by seeing the actions and the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and following them based on their observation, based on their direct experience in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But those who came later, those who came generations after, those who were not fortunate enough to be in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, those who were not fortunate enough to be blessed with the physical company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to look at the blessed example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly, how would they act upon this obligation of obeying and following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The only way is through the hadith recorded by those previous generations. Through the hadith, we gain knowledge about the practical example, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so we can obey him and follow him. Furthermore, the importance of the hadith can be understood by reflecting upon the fact that the Holy Quran itself states that the revelation of the Quran was upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the responsibility of preserving and protecting the Quran and revealing it and ensuring that it stays in its revealed form is upon Allah Almighty. And the responsibility of bayan, the responsibility of explaining the Quran, is upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, and we revealed towards you the remembrance, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, so that you, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, explain to the people. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, so that you explain to the people that which has been revealed towards them, and so that they can reflect. So the Quran itself is telling us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the one who explains the Holy Quran. So hadith is vital for the complete understanding, the complete expression of Quranic guidance, the fulfillment of the purpose of the Quran, i.e. that the Quran is a guidance for mankind, is dependent upon the prophetic explanation, is dependent upon the clarification, the bayan, the explanation given of the Quran. And where do we find that explanation? In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Furthermore, Allah Almighty describes in the Holy Quran the basic tasks of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Almighty states, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Indeed, Allah bestowed a great favor upon the believers when He sent amongst them a messenger. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, when He sent amongst them a messenger from themselves. And what are the tasks, what are the activities of this messenger? Allah Almighty states, يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, that the messenger recites the verses of Allah upon the people, recites the verses of the Quran to the people. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and secondly, he purifies them. And thirdly, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, he teaches them the book. وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and fourthly, he teaches them the wisdom. So here, in this particular verse of the Quran, Allah Almighty has listed some tasks, some activities of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the description of the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the messenger is the one who recites the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. The messenger is the one who purifies the people. The messenger is the one who thirdly teaches the book to the people. And fourthly, the messenger is the one who teaches the wisdom to the people too. So we see that teaching the book and teaching the wisdom, these are essential attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam teaches the book. And where are those teachings found? Those teachings are found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the Holy Quran was enough and the hadith were not needed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have mentioned the necessity of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam teaching the book. And here it doesn't just say teaching the book, it also says teaching the wisdom. And the scholars of tafsir mention that one understanding of teaching the wisdom is the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hadith. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam teaches the book and the wisdom, meaning teaches the book and the hadith. The Quran and the hadith go hand in hand in guiding the believers and telling the believers what is expected from them. Now, the Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan were masters of the Arabic language. They knew the language. But here, it mentions that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would teach them the book. So if the Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan were not able to understand the Quran completely and all of the rulings that must be derived from the Quran completely without the teaching and the explanation of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite the fact that they were masters of the Arabic language, of the most eloquent of people, experts in Arabic, then obviously people like us who are not experts in Arabic would have an even greater need for the hadith to explain the true meaning of the verses of the Quran. And the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam speaking about deen, when the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about revelation, when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam speaks about matters of religion, then even if that statement of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is not a verse of the Quran, that statement still holds great importance. And that importance is highlighted by the Holy Quran itself. Allah Almighty states in Surah An-Najm, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And he, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does not speak of his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is only a revelation revealed to him. So the scholars say, in the light of this particular verse of the Quran, that every word that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says with regards to religion, with regards to deen, every single word is inspired by Allah Almighty, is a revelation. Because the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doesn't speak from his own desire. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks after being inspired by Allah Almighty. So when the beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam speaks on the matter of religion, that even if it is not a verse of the Quran, is a type of revelation, a type of inspiration. And this is also a part of the guidance that is necessary for mankind. Furthermore, when it comes to the ahkam of Islam, the rulings of Islam, what is haram, what is forbidden in Islam, what is halal, what is permitted in Islam, not every single halal and haram is mentioned in the Quran. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the authority. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the ability to make things haram or to make things halal. And there are certain things which are not declared as haram in the Holy Quran, but they are haram due to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this quality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam having the ability to make things haram or to make things halal is mentioned in the Quran itself. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 157, Allah Almighty states, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِينَ يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ. That those who follow the messenger, the prophet, the one who is untaught, who they find written with them in the Torah. يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. They find the mention of this messenger written with them in the Torah and the Injil. And what are the attributes of this messenger? What are the attributes of this prophet? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He orders them with goodness. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And he forbids them from evil. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And he makes permissible, he makes halal for them pure things. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has the authority to make things halal for the people. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And he makes impure things forbidden for them. He makes impure things haram for them. The beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam makes things halal, and the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam makes other things haram. He has this authority. So if we want to know what is haram and what is halal in our religion, what are the rulings of that which is permitted and that which is forbidden in the deen of Islam, then we must look at the ahadith. In those ahadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has declared which things are permissible and which things are impermissible, which things are halal and which things are haram. So this was a short introduction into the importance and the authority and the necessity of understanding the hadith, of studying the hadith, of taking guidance from the hadith. We learnt about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Holy Quran has emphasized and highlighted that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be obeyed and must be followed. And Allah Almighty also mentions how the task of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst many other tasks, is to explain the remembrance, i.e. the revelation of Allah Almighty. And the task of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is to teach the book and the wisdom, to teach the revelation of Allah Almighty and the wisdom to the people. And those teachings are found where? In the ahadith. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, in this series, we'll be looking at an incredible collection, a classical collection of hadith, the 40 hadith, the arba'een of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, in our next episode, we'll be looking at the blessings of hadith. We'll be talking about why the number 40 is important. Why 40 hadith? Is there some special virtue of the number 40 when it comes to studying or collecting the hadith? What have our scholars said about this? Which scholars have compiled collections of 40 hadith? And then we'll move on to talk about the biography of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, so we can understand the importance of the author. By understanding the importance of the author, that will increase in our hearts the honor for the book of that author, and it will increase our ability to gain blessings and benefits from that book. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, after doing so, then we'll go into the hadith, each hadith in turn, the first, then the second, then the third, and so on, in detail, describing, first of all, the matn, the text of the hadith in Arabic, translating the hadith, and then understanding what the scholars have said in the light of those ahadith. And we'll see, inshaAllah, the reason why Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah selected from all of the thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of hadiths out there, why Imam al-Nawawi radiallahu anhu selected these 40 in particular. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, stay tuned to Madani Channel, keep watching all of the silsilas of Madani Channel, and tune into the next episode of this silsila regarding the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens our hearts with the light of hadith. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم.
In the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the